What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to edition number 6 of That Mill Podcast, season 2021-22. Hope you're doing well. Today, joining me, we just have myself and Mr. Kai Bennett. Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good win last night. So, yeah, lovely to be back at the Den and looking forward to talking about it.
That's it, mate. I think Mill obviously won 2-1 last night against Portsmouth, League One opposition. We're going to detail that in length in a moment and also talk about Saturday's game against Blackburn Rovers. So we'll get straight into part number one now. And welcome to the first part of the show. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe, like the video, and obviously check us out on our Twitter handle at That Mill Pod. Check out our website, thatmillpodcast.co.uk as well. So, Kai, Mill 1-2-1 yesterday, mate. We're into the next round of the Cup. I've called the show. Mill's still in the hat. I think job well done yesterday, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. After a little bit of a shaky start, which is to be expected, I guess, with Portsmouth bringing down 2,000. They were always going to start fast. And I think they did a little bit what we did against QPR on Saturday. They started so quick that they couldn't keep it up for a long period of time. And after sort of 20 minutes, they started to fade away a little bit. And that's when we came into the game. I thought, well-taken goals from Scott Malone and George Saville. Obviously gave us the win. And second half, it could have been a little bit more comfortable had we taken our chances.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the goal from Portsmouth came from an ex-Bromley player, actually. I don't know if you recognise the name, Kai. It was Rico Hackett-Fairchild. I think Portsmouth signed a couple of their players in the last couple of years, just like youngsters for their 23s who've developed and gone on. And to be fair to him, he took the goal great in the first half, didn't he? And it was obviously kind of not the ideal start. But like you said, the bounce back was good there. Obviously, two goals in the first half from Millwall. Scott Malone getting his first of the season. And obviously, George Saville getting his first back for the club. I think, important goals there from two really kind of standout players yesterday.
Yeah, really, really good to see Malone in amongst the goals still. His goals were crucial last year, weren't they? And we couldn't quite manage to bridge the gap between the playoffs. This year, that he's going to have to match that if we want to continue to try and get there. George Saville's goals will be crucial. I mean, 10 goals, wasn't it, before he left to go to Borough in 2018? Mm-hmm. So if he can replicate that, and by last night's finish, it was a fantastic finish. He had to really adjust his feet there. If he can replicate that season and the way he's been with Borough over the last couple of years, it will give us a lot more goals from midfield, which would be crucial, which is something we definitely lacked last season.
How did it feel to be back at the Den for the first time in, 17, 18 months? I thought for myself, it was just great to be back. Obviously, we had the game on the weekend, but nothing beats turning up at the Messiah, as it's called, the Den, mate. That's what it's about.
Nah, definitely. I mean, QPR was great, but last night was special. Just being back at the Den, somewhere you haven't been for all that time. And funny enough, nothing's really changed. There's still marks on the wall that were there 18 months ago. So it was nice to see that it was the same old Den, which is lovely to see. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. It was just getting there was felt weird. The journey was strange. And then literally just walking into the ground was even more special. And, going up to your seat, sitting in your seat and seeing everyone around you that you haven't seen for 16, 17 months, however long it's been. That was really nice. And it just feels like a big step back to normality. And hopefully Millwall can do something special this year.
I mean, you say not much has changed. I think if we've got the groundsmen listening to us, they'll probably bite your ear off, mate, going, what's the other about? Because that pitch yesterday looked immense, didn't it? I mean, obviously, the club spoke about it a lot in the summer, didn't they? Where they took the whole thing up for the first time since we moved to the new Den. And obviously, they relayed the whole surface completely. And I thought it held up well, obviously, his first game of season back. But the pitch was glistening, wasn't it? It was like a carpet, as we said in our chat yesterday night.
That was the only thing, I guess, that has changed, I guess, yeah. It was nice. It's always hard to tell, isn't it, at the start of the season, because the pitches are always lovely at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they start to sort of, get worse and worse as the season goes on. But no, that pitch just, it looked, it was glowing, as in sort of a term to use. And it played really well. I think they all passed it really, really well last night. And that could be tied down to the pitch. I mean, the pitch helps that. Last season when the pitch wasn't so great, it was hard to get passes going because of it. But this season with the pitch being nice, it'll be good to see whether we can be a bit more, play along the ground and play the way I think Gary Rowett wants to.
Definitely, and hopefully get some momentum going. I mean, we'll talk about the team. Obviously, you predicted a team that I saw in our chat yesterday, which was slightly off different to what Wright went for. Close enough, I'd say. But obviously, I was quite surprised on how strong the team was, Kai, in reality. But, you know, I think, obviously, momentum, like we're saying, there is quite important. He went with George Long in goal. I think we both predicted Long would start, didn't we? A back three of, I think it was Ryan Leonard, right centre-half, Hutchinson in the middle, and Jake Cooper, left centre-half. Malone, left wing-back. Marlon Romeo, right wing-back, in for Danny Mack. A midfield two this time of Saville and Kieftenbeld, Belt, who we both obviously really impressed with. And then obviously we had Bradshaw and Ofobi up front with Jed Wallace just behind him. I mean, quite a strong team, like I said there, Kai, and obviously a little bit of a different shape there as well with two midfielders.
Yeah, really interesting that he keeps putting Leonard, when he brings Leonard on or when he talks about Leonard, he wants to almost playing as a centre-back. Mm-hmm. When I first saw the team yesterday, I thought that it would be something like Leonard and Kieftenbeld holding with Savoyne behind, and I wasn't quite sure where Jed fitted into that, and you know, where the two strikers fitted into that. But obviously, when the game got going, it made sense where he was playing, and I thought Leonard played reasonably well. I thought that, you know, the second goal came from Leonard's darting run out from the back, and you know, eventually found Bradshaw. But yeah, it was a good lineup. Good to see George Long make his debut. I mean, one thing I will say about Long is his distribution looks fantastic. How calm he is on the ball when he gets it back is really, really good to see. And yeah, Cooper played well. Overall, it was quite a good performance.
I think obviously competition for places, we've already spoken about it, but to have the players come in yesterday and perform like they did, I think I put a tweet out this morning on the Twitter handle. Like, I think that's what impressed me the most. You're right about Long. I thought obviously Leonard playing right centre-half, it's actually a position he played with at Sheffield United, which I wasn't aware of, but I think he mentioned it in an interview recently where he played that position before. So obviously he's capable of doing it and done the job for us last season, but I think it's that ability to run forward with the ball from deep, isn't it, Kai, that obviously is a big strength of his to play in that position.
Yeah, he likes to drive forward, and that's what we've been, I guess, missing as such. Sometimes when there's space in front of him, like Rob Dickey did against us on Saturday with QPR, he drove forward with it, and look at the rewards that he got from that. I mean, it's same with Hutch and Cooper. I mean, we know Cooper likes to go on a darting run every so often, and I applaud him for that because Cooper's brilliant when he goes to them. I don't think anyone wants to go anywhere near him when he goes on it.
He's definitely getting better, isn't he? He's getting better with the ball, yeah. Cooper, to be fair to him. At times, I'm like, oh, here we go. But then, fair play to him. He seems to be going strength to strength with the more games he plays in that position.
Yeah, and he even overlapped Malone last night in front of the Cobb Lane end, which was, I mean, I don't think he got it, but, you know, it's nice to see him there. And I think it's really good. I think it's, you know, it's a similar system to how Sheffield United played when they went up with overlapping centre-backs. And it's a good system. I think with Ballard as well, I think Ballard wants to do that as well. He looks like he wants to come forward with it and mm-hmm. get up with Danny on the right and support him. So, yeah, it all gives us numbers in attack, which can never be a bad thing. Just whether we can stop counter-attacks. But by the looks of it, we're pretty solid at that too. So, yeah, good stuff.
And an opposition 11 full of ex-Mill players in there. I mean, obviously, Portsmouth's 11, I think it was a 4-2-3-1 sort of lineup. Alex Bass in goal, Callum Johnson, Sean Raggett, who was quite superb, I think, for their defence. Clark Robertson, Connor Ogleve, Ryan Tunnicliffe and Sean Williams in the middle. Obviously, we mentioned Hackett Fairchild, who got the goal. Ghassan Adame from, I think he's on loan from Norwich. Ronan Curtis and Super John Marquis, Lewisham John up front. I mean, it was just bizarre, wasn't it? I think two or three occasions, like, we're clapping the Portsmouth players, and then Portsmouth players, Portsmouth fans are clapping our players. Obviously, Jed Wallace playing, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Sean Williams obviously getting an ovation. Even Ben Thompson when he's warming up in the second half, like, they're singing, sign him up, sign him up, sign him up. It's almost like a celebration game almost of ex-players for each club.
Yeah, it was really, really strange. I mean, yeah. I think one other player that didn't make it onto the pitch yesterday was Mark Beavers. I think Beavers still plays for Peterborough. I think I watched him on the...
Peterborough, not
Portsmouth. Yeah. Oh, see, that's where I went wrong, see? Oh, no. See, that's where I went wrong, see? I was questioning that yesterday in my head. I was thinking, no, I'm pretty sure he plays for... But then that makes sense.
You even said Peterborough there as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I was going to say Peterborough. Yeah, I was going to say Peterborough. No, I had a moment there. No, it was good to see plenty of ex-Millwall players playing. I thought Williams got the ovation he deserved when he came off. As Rowett said, I don't know whether that was planned or whether that was tactical, you know, bring him off in front of the supporters. But, you know, he deserves that. And it's obviously hard when you leave a club after, what was it, 7 years, eight years, and you don't get a sort of a farewell. Same with Fergie, really, isn't it? Obviously, Williams is lucky enough to be able to get a moment to come back and play against us. And one thing we spoke about, didn't we, on the chat last night, was when they scored, Williams didn't celebrate, which was obviously a sign of respect, and you get muted celebrations like that, but you don't normally get anyone to stand on the don't even go and celebrate, which was, I guess, good of him.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that first goal. Obviously, I think for Portsmouth opening the scoring, I think it was only like 5-10 minutes in at the time. We mentioned Hackett Fairchild racing the ray. I think it was Wallace dropped deep, didn't he, to about the halfway line. And I'm pretty sure, I think it was Hutchinson that played the ball into him. Jed's gone to play a first time to Cooper and kind of just misplaced it, I guess. Hackett Fairchild was like straight there to close it down, took on the defenders, and to be fair to him, stuck it past Long. And I think, you know, we said before the game, I mean, before recording now, was Long culpable for that goal. But I think, if anything, it was just a well-struck strike and you couldn't really get behind it, I think.
No, I mean, I think it was Jed was a bit casual with his pass, probably, you know, just expected it to go back to Cooper. We were out of shape as well, so of course, we're always vulnerable when we lost it there. And you got an attacker driving at two defenders who, by the looks of it, he was very quick as well. With the way he drove that ball, he was confident when he drove it, and to hit it like that was a really good strike. They were keen on celebrating in front of the Millwall fans, weren't they? Which is something I've missed so much. I mean, even though you're annoyed when they scored, just nice to have fans back in the stadium to even be able to, you know, boo them when they come up and celebrate in front of you. You know, and that I think that just makes the game really. It was a good goal. I always questioned how we'd respond from that. I was worried a little bit that we might, you know, struggle for the next 10, 15 minutes and they might nick another one. But luckily that wasn't to be, and we were able to respond.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we got a response 10 minutes later. I think that goal actually was in the fourth minute, by the way. So it's kind of put out in context, obviously, straight back at us there. But about, I think, 18, 19 minute mark, maybe 20 minutes, Scott Malone's there to obviously tap in a rebound from Jed Wallace's shot. I think it was Romeo initially obviously doing the hard work down the right-hand side, wasn't it? And he obviously got to the byline, put a ball into the box. Bradshaw does well to keep it alive, who obviously was back in the side, kind of, you know, buzzing around that he normally does. Wallace has the initial shot and the keeper just parries it into the path of Malone, and to be fair to him, tucks it away, a couple of players in the way, but like we said, you know, Malone's there to kind of pick up the pieces and obviously get his first goal of the season.
Yeah, he doesn't faze him, I don't think, any players being around him. He knows what he wants to do. He sticks it in the back of the net and it's a really good finish. He's really composed in front of goal, Malone, which is really impressive for a wing back. You know, and he'll be key to us this year, and it'd be great if we can get, you know, Danny McNamara or Marlon Romeo, whoever plays on that right, if they can sort of try and replicate what Malone does on the left in terms of in front of goal, could be really, really, really exciting down the wing. But what I find is really good is the fact that he's actually there in the first place in the box. You know, it's quite easy for him to sit off and, you know, watch out for the counter attack. But he's in the box. He he's making things happen, and he gets his reward for being there.
I think that's the perk of the two wing backs, isn't it? Like, they want to just bomb forward, got the license to do so with the three centre halves in that formation as well. And I think just like with Malone in particular, he always looks knackered halfway through the game, but he still has that kind of second urge to keep running, keep running, keep running. And I think he just is like, he loves the idea of not defending, even though he is a defender by nature. I think he just prefers bombing forward, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I saw it at QPR as well. He almost drifts inside sometimes. He lets Cooper go across to the left and he comes into the midfield almost, or against QPR that he was on the right when we broke. So I think he just loves attacking, as you said, and he wants to be doing that all the time. Obviously with Millwall, you know, against certain teams this year like Fulham and stuff, we're not going to be able to do that because obviously they'll keep a lot of possession and we'll have to be, you know, quite we'll have to be structured and be disciplined in the way we defend. So he needs to, you know, learn to just sit in sometimes. But his pace on the counter-attack is crucial. And if we can build up a bit of momentum, like we do in games, I think every game you'll get a spell of momentum. He'll be crucial to that because even his crossing yesterday or to Matt Smith, you know, when Smith could have made it three, you know, that just shows his capability down the left, and he's a real attacking threat for us.
Absolutely. I mean, we mentioned then obviously the second goal, and you obviously already name dropped Ryan Leonard into that. But obviously, if you've not watched the game, see the highlights of it, because it was a great run from the back from Leonard. Picks out Bradshaw again, and Bradshaw is involved, but he bounces back to Wallace, who puts the ball into the box. I think it got a slight little nick off a defender's head, but, you know, George Havel's there to tuck it away. And I think Wright was quite complimentary after the game. Like, the finish was top class, he said. And yeah, he took it superbly, didn't he?
Oh yeah, brilliant. I mean, he's had to adjust his feet there, as Rowett did say in his interview. If you watch it back, it looks like it's coming to his right, and he's had to adjust it to his left, and it's just sort of just snuck past the keeper. At first, when he first did it, I didn't think it was him. But obviously, when it went in, it was a really good strike. And I think by the way he celebrated and the way that he was yesterday, it just shows that he really, really wants to be back at the Den. And maybe it is what Neil Warnock said. Maybe he did. Maybe it is right. Maybe he did push through a move back to Millwall, which if that is true, That's really, really nice to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think just before half time, wasn't it? Afobe had a good chance, didn't he? I think we pressed the Portsmouth back line. I think Malone gets the interception. And I think Afobe's 10 yards out on the turn, swivels and forces a good save from the keeper. But I think he'd would like to see that hit the back of the net, wouldn't he? Just as a little sour note there in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Afobe. I think he's getting chances, which is really positive, which is, you know, I guess more than you can say for some of our other attackers. I mean, last year, we didn't really see likes of Bod, Bradshaw, them sort of players getting into those positions. I think Ben Kofobi's positioning is really, really good. Like against QPR the other day, he rolled his defender on his left foot and got a strike away. Had that been a bit stronger, that might have gone in. And it's good to see him getting chances. Obviously, he'd like to be tacking them away. But he's got the full support of the crowd. I mean, numerous times last night, we sung his name. And that would only give him confidence. And yeah, he's a top. I do believe he's a really good striker. And I think he'll come alive when he gets that first league goal for us.
I think he's just happy to be here as well. I think, you know, I think he feels like it's a home for him. I think he realises that hopefully he's going to be our main man and hopefully it does click for him. I think he's got a lot of faith in his own ability. And I think he knows that it's just kind of a moment. This will be a moment of time, really, just kind of where it falls into place for him. And he obviously then kicks on from there, hopefully.
Yeah, he's got that class about him. I mean, even when he nips up on sometimes he receives the ball on the left and he tries to beat his defender that way. And I think he's just, as you said, his confidence is high, even when he's not scoring. Jeb Waters said it a couple of weeks ago that them sort of players, they don't need goals to get confidence. He said that, you know, he's always confident. And Jed described him as a top-class striker, which I do believe he could be if he can get going. For us this year, I mean, Saville and Jed in behind and alongside him will only help. Obviously, playing together at Wolves, so he's got that. He's got them players in behind him and next to him that he knows. Can we maybe? The only thing I would say is maybe can we try and find a partner to play with him? Maybe with Jed in behind, maybe can we maybe go into the transfer market and try and get one more and then put Jed in behind? That's the only thing I would say. Maybe just to give him a little bit more help up there, because Jed's often dropping back, isn't he? In that striker position, which makes him a little bit isolated. But yeah, Ben Okafobi, I'm really excited to see if he can try and kick on this year.
I just wonder if it's made up for a Josh Windass. I know he signed the contract, didn't he, the other day at Sheffield Wednesday, which is unfortunate. So, but a Josh Windass ilk sort of player in that sense. I thought Wallace done okay yesterday, but I think I'm more of a fan for it with him playing up front in that too. Purely because he then peels off to the right a lot, makes runs in behind, and he's almost that kind of wide winger that we all really want him to be, pulls off a lot of the time. But I agree with you. I think we're quite one-dimensional, where we obviously have the centre-backs bombing forward quite a bit. We have the wing-backs bombing forward. But if you kind of negate that threat in the wide areas, what can we do in the middle to break teams down? And I thought Wallace a couple of times dropped deep. And obviously, like I said, for their goal, he unfortunately gave it away. But we need a player to kind of get on the ball, turn and run at the opposition players, I think. Just like how Leonard did for the second goal. If you have that kind of forward threat like a Mahoney could do if he was on his game, so to speak, I think he'd just add another kind of dimension to us. I don't know what you reckon about that.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think that some of the, I guess the problem with the way we play is that the substitutes on the bench, such as Bradshaw, Smith and stuff, I don't think, by the looks of it, with obviously Bradshaw was ready to go the other day against QPR, wasn't he? And he never came on. Mm-hmm. So maybe that shows you that he wasn't so keen on bringing Bradshaw on the other day. And the striker he sort of seems to go to is Smith, which, you know, it's fantastic off the bench because he gives us a completely different dimension. But the problem with it is that he completely changed the way we play. So we almost need a like for Ben Okafobi, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess the closest one to that is Bradshaw. But then, you know, has he got faith in Bradshaw to come off and do the work that Ben Okafobi does? And, you know, because Okafobi's very, I think his first touch is very good, Okafobi, whereas Bradshaw's can be sometimes a little bit loose. So maybe we need one more in that position, as well as someone that can drive at the defence. Windass would be a brilliant signing, even though he's out injured as well.
Yeah.
Maybe if he's out injured, could we get him for a reduced fee? I don't know. But maybe also another player that could be like that is Bennett, isn't it? Obviously, he's a big miss for the time being.
Yeah, you stole my words there. I think Bennett could be, whilst you're talking there, I'm thinking maybe Bennett is that player because he does like to pick the ball up from deep and kind of run with it. And he's that kind of rawness as well, isn't he? Which is kind of what I feel like we're missing there. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. What did you make of the second half red card straight after half time? It was, I think, the right back Johnson, obviously. I think it was one of those where he, because he was out of control in the modern day, so to speak, both his feet are off the floor. I think you've got no arguments with it, but you could easily see it kind of begin as a yellow card and play on with it, so to speak, couldn't you, if it was the other way around?
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, at first, obviously, when the tackle goes in and Bradshaw, is on the floor, it seemed like quite a reckless challenge. But looking it back, I don't think it was. There was any ending in it as such. There was no malice in it as Raul it described. What I thought was more funny is the way he sprinted off the pitch after he got a red card. I thought that was quite
Yeah.
funny. He didn't want any chance towards him, did he? He was off. He was gone.
Yeah.
I thought the ref actually was looking to overturn it when he was talking to his line. I wasn't sure what he was doing, to be honest. Obviously, he booked Cooper, didn't he, and one of their players. But no, I do think it was probably a little bit harsh. And I think that did, as Raul said, killed the game off a little bit because we didn't we always struggle to make that one man extra advantage count, don't we? All the time, we even when we're 1-0 down or 1-1 or even winning, we struggle to make it count. And yesterday, I think maybe it did just change the dimension of the game, and maybe that suited Pompey a little bit more just to sit in and. Because then we struggled to break them down after that.
I think that's ultimately what it is, and I agree with you. I think Wright said it after the game as well, didn't he? Like, I think that's when teams sit back with 10 men. I mean, they were time wasting, even like they're watching the clock kind of go down, even the last 5, 10 minutes. Because I think they just kind of thought, we'll get that one opportunity and hopefully we take it, but we're down to 10 men here. Let's not kind of turn this into a hiding. And I think with that, the game kind of did change a bit. I think Malone obviously had a couple of chances on the left. Obviously, you mentioned Smith hitting the post when he came on. I think also we saw a few other substitutes, didn't we? I think. Obviously, Mahoney came on. I think, what did you make of Mahoney when he came on? In Sparks, he showed what he's about. I remember on the right hand side in front of Colgo Leyland, when he feints across with his left, turns the player, and then puts a good ball into the box as well. And it's just begging to be tapped away. Like I'm saying, I really want Mahoney to have a good season here, Kai. That's what I really kind of hope for. But I'll be honest with you, I'm glass half full of a lot of things. With Mahoney, I'm glass half empty because I don't think it's going to work for him here. I've said it a couple of times in the show, but. I'm not convinced, basically. Tell me to be convinced, mate. Help me out.
No, I was pleased to see Mahoney come on yesterday. I would have liked to seen him start. Just think that's important minutes for him. Obviously, he didn't start. And when he came on, he showed glimpses, didn't he? I mean, there was one time just in front, near the away end, he's dummied a player when he's gone to kick it as well. So it just shows I think Mahoney is a bit of a flair player as such. And yesterday with 10 men was a perfect time to bring him on because I don't think Mahoney's work rate is as good, is as high as the other players. And with 10 men, you probably can afford one person to be a little bit more laboured. But even having saying that, when he went to left wing back to replace Malone, I thought he worked really hard down that left to win the ball back, and he didn't actually look quite strong. And when he got on the ball, he looked dangerous, but just didn't quite work out. He couldn't quite come inside and have a shot. And the crosses he did put in were just no one was just unfortunately not there to poke it home. But overall, I thought he came on and he looked attacking. He looked an attacking threat. Just unfortunately couldn't make anything of it.
No, you're right. I think obviously we had that kind of a couple of chances. I feel like the keeper came forward a couple of times and Afobe had a chance to score from about 30 yards out, done all the hard work. And then as he goes to place it, just puts it over. I think Saville had the same opportunity about 10 minutes later, didn't he, as well? And then we had a real heart-in-mouth moment, didn't we, where that man, Hackett Fairchild, races through again against our centre-halves. I think Long does well to come out and kind of smother the ball a bit, but it falls to him again. And then there's Ryan Leonard out of nowhere to clear it off the line, isn't it? Kind of a goal-saving contribution to win the game for Millwall.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing with Leonard. I do like Leonard. I think he's so versatile, and I just don't think having. I just wonder whether anyone else would have, may have had the idea of getting back on the line. That's a really, it's a bit of an instinct, isn't it, to get back on the line straight away. You can't think about it too much, otherwise no one would have got there. And then Leonard's instincts is to get back on the line and to clear it away, which I thought he did really, really well at. Had they scored that, it goes to penalties, and then it goes a little bit more nerve-wracking, doesn't it? So, yeah, it was good to wrap it up in 90 minutes.
I saw penalties about a month ago today, mate. I don't need to see penalties again, all right? I saw it about a month ago of England. I'm heartbroken for me. I'm devastated. I'm not ready to see another penalty shootout, albeit in the first round of the Carabao Cup in a competition we're never going to win. But still, don't need to see it. Thank you very much. But yeah, that was it full time. I think, obviously, apart from that, I think Portsmouth grew into it a little bit towards the end, but nothing too over the top. And it sets up nicely to kind of, hopefully going to Saturday, rocking all over the world was playing, mate. And hopefully that's the kind of the momentum we need now to kind of go to the Den. Obviously, we'll talk about Blackburn in the next part, but it's important to get our home form going, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think any win at home is a good win at home. It's nice to get a win in a competitive game, not just like a pre-season friendly. I know there wasn't any friendlies at the Den, but it's nice to get a competitive win at the Den. Yes, that's always a good one. But question for you, who do you want in the second round?
A West Ham in the second round. Can we get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, there you go. I'll say it. Give us West Ham. It's time we had West Ham. I'll take it at home, don't mind. But West Ham, how about yourself? Who would you want?
I'm probably similar, them or Palace. But I wouldn't mind a game against Wimbledon.
Nice.
I saw them last night beat Charlton, and I thought to myself, well, you know, I know they're not really rivals, but you know, a game against Wimbledon in the second round would be a good game. Give our players, some of our fringe players, a little bit more experience, and you know, a few more minutes. And Wimbledon always, you know, they're an energetic and young side. So yeah, that'll be a good game as well. But yeah, my first choice opponents would have to be West Ham, of course.
There you go. That's what we want, mate. I think if we want the big one. I mean, if anyone's watching or listening, let us know who you'd like to have in the second round. I think is the draw today or is it this evening?
It's tonight. Yeah, after QPR game.
Cool. So, I mean, obviously, we'll know by tonight, and this will go out about 7 o'clock on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube and you've before the draw, let us know who you'd like to have. And yeah, I think that's the end of part one here. I think, obviously, the reflection was quite good from us there. If you've enjoyed it, let us know. And we'll be back in a second to preview Saturday's game against Blackburn. And welcome back to part number two of our sixth edition of the 2021-2022 season. Kai, we forgot to mention in part one, the Michael Keith DeBell Club is growing in numbers. I had someone tweet me yesterday saying they've joined it. I think you're part of it now, and you mate as well. So we're going to have to keep this going. I think the more he's playing, I think for me anyway, I wouldn't say he's my man of the match yesterday, but I just love everything he does. He's just he's like a bit of an enforcer, isn't he? Just brute force out there to kind of put tackles in, break play up and just give it to other players to go and contribute their play going forwards.
Yeah, you're going to have to start a membership. he's brilliant, isn't he? You know, be part of the club. But no, I think he's really good. I think he thrives off the fans, doesn't he? With the tackles he made last night, there was some great tackles. He goes flying into tackles. And there was even one last night that I was thinking to myself, don't go in for that. You're not going to win that. Yeah. And he goes in and he wins it, you know?
Yeah.
There was a couple that he pulled.
I remember the one in the second half where he goes for the ball and like his foot's like he's like gone for it and he's a normal player might have got, if it was Ben Thompson, he'd get flung over his head, but Keith will just go straight in for it, doesn't he? Like he loves it.
He loves it. He just likes lifting the crowd as well. And there was one last night that he thought about going in for and he decided not to because I think he thought, nah, I'm not, the ref's already given one red card. I can't risk it. But he's a clever player as well. He's the sort of player that will go around and you know, commit fouls, but without really showing it's anything, malicious or and he gives away tactical fouls that the ref thinks, well, you know, it's just a foul, it's an ordinary day foul. And he's very clever like that in the way he plays. I think the tackles he goes in for are fantastic, and his overall breaking up the players, it's been superb. I mean, the amount of times we got the ball last night and countered from him winning the ball was. Yeah, I really rate him, and I think he has got a cracking strike on him because, you know, he nearly scored against QPR the other day. So, you know, it's exciting. Even though he's 30, I think he's got a couple of years left of the way he plays.
100%. I agree with you there. I mean, if you enjoy playing in front of a half-full mill then yesterday, I think he's going to enjoy it a little bit more on Saturday when we have more fans there for our league game against Blackburn on Saturday, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I think the atmosphere was really good last night, actually. I thought it was really good. For Carabao Cup matches, sometimes the only one tier open, isn't it? One stand. But it was a really good atmosphere last night, and I thought Keith thrives off that. And Saturday will be even better against Blackburn. I don't know how many are going to be there, but maybe 12, 13, 14,000 Millwall fans, maybe with, I think it's 2,000 Blackburn. I think they've sold out, haven't they? I'm not sure.
I think they have, yeah.
So that'll be good. Just hopefully we can get the win and keep bringing more people into the Michael Keith DeBell fan club.
That's it. Agreed with you, mate. I mean, let's talk a bit about Blackburn. They won on Saturday against Swansea City under new management. Obviously, Swansea were. Tony Mowbray still in charge there. It looks like Adam Armstrong's going to be leaving the club. Obviously, I think he's... I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but obviously Southampton agreed a deal with him there. And I know a few other Premier League clubs were interested. So he's not obviously involved at the moment. And he's normally our kind of kryptonite, isn't he? Adam Armstrong, whether we play against him, he just always seems to score a goal, doesn't he?
Yeah, so it's really good that he's not going to be playing on Saturday. Really good. So, I mean, that limits their attacking options. It'll be, you know, he always scores a goal against us and his celebration's a nightmare. So that's a good one that's not going to be happening in front of our stand because that wouldn't go well very well because I would not like that at all. Mm-hmm. But I'm really pleased that he's gone because obviously it'll give us a bit more of a boost on Saturday. One player that I do like of theirs who's a real menace is Tyrese Dolan.
Okay, yeah.
I thought when he played us at the Den in, was it March? I thought it was fantastic. I thought he just, even though he's so small, but he's just everywhere. We really struggled to contain him that day. But I think with a crowd and, you know, people singing at him, hopefully, and giving him a little bit of, you know, because it's easy to do it at an empty den, I think. You know, no. when there's no fans there and there's nothing there, I think, you know, like Louis Sibley when he scored a hat-trick against us with Derby, I think, you know, I don't think that happens if there's a full den. So I think that really influences how we do it. And you know, maybe it's turn up and they're not as free-flowing as they were back in March. And obviously last night's defeat will I guess, you know, their confidence would have been shot a little bit from that.
Definitely. I think when I look at their team, obviously, I think yesterday, they lost 2-1 to Morecambe. Obviously, Morecambe are they League One now? Morecambe, I think they promoted themselves, didn't they? I'm pretty sure, maybe.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, Morecambe, obviously a side that are kind of on the upside speed. But I think Blackburn changed it a little bit from the weekend, but still a lot of their first team players playing. When you said to me that you're scared of a certain player or kind of, you know, anxious about him, I thought you were going to say Ben Brereton Diaz, mate. Because have you heard about Ben Brereton? he's now a Chile international somewhere out of nowhere, and he was in the Copa America. So I thought you might refer to him here. But yeah, obviously he's a player that's obviously, I think, quite young and obviously they've invested a lot of money into. I think that's what we need to kind of bear caution with the Blackburn. Okay, yes, they've lost their talisman, their number 9 in Adam Armstrong. But with that, like, you know, I think he's number 7 actually, just for record. But, you know, Sam Gallagher, they signed for $5 million from Southampton a few years ago. Brereton, they signed from Nottingham Forest for £5-6 million as well. And, you know, they kind of over time gathered these players and tried to, you know, they had their opportunity, yes, to go up. And a lot of people this year kind of thinking they're going to kind of go into a lull this year. But I think, you know, it's worth bearing in mind, whilst they lose Armstrong, they've still got players in there they've spent a bit of money on before that are kind of maturing with age a little bit still.
Yeah, and the money they get from Armstrong will be I think it is about $20 million, isn't it? Something like that. Yeah. So they'll have money to reinvest it. And by the way, that Ben Brereton, he's on a Coca-Cola advert the other day. I saw that.
Was it?
See that on Twitter. Yeah, he's on a Chilean Coca-Cola advert.
Unbelievable. Ben Brereton Diaz came out of nowhere. Yeah. I remember him playing for Nottingham Forest in a cup game against Arsenal about 4 years ago and thinking, cool, he's a handful. He's only like 22 years old. And he's 18 back then. I was like, okay. And then I think Blackburn paid like $7 million for him or something stupid. But play for Chile out of nowhere, and he doesn't really score loads of goals. I know he scored on the weekend, first game back, but it's just kind of, it's a bizarre one, isn't it? It's like having Jed Wallace suddenly turn out for, like, I don't know, Colombia or something. Do you know what I mean? And then we call him Jed Wallace Diaz out of the blue. It's just kind of, you didn't expect it. Do you know what I mean? It was a bit bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he never used to be called Diaz, did he?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was just Ben Brereton.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's almost changed his whole outlook and his whole persona, isn't he?
That's it.
Which is, I mean, hats off to him. He's playing international football and he's doing well. So, no, he'll be a threat as well. But I think Blackburn are a club that are in a little bit of a bit of problem with the fact that they haven't. I don't think they haven't moved with the times. They haven't recruited. Like, I mean, a couple of years ago, as you said, they brought in these players and they looked like they were going to go up. Mm-hmm. But they haven't kept that up and haven't continued to add to their squad. They've been sort of happy with what they've got. But players like Bradley Dack, who will return probably 2 months, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, he's injured again, isn't he? It's a shame, really. Another ligament injury in his knee, isn't it? So it's a shame.
Yeah, he's another quality player, isn't he? And you know, but Armstrong will be a big loss, but it'll be interesting to see how they spend that money. As long as they don't come and get Jed Wallace or anything like that, I don't care.
That is the fear, isn't it? I did think about that. Like, okay, yes, he wants to move to a Premier League club, or he's kind of hoping to kind of, you know, go somewhere. I think for him, Blackburn would be a sideways step unless they signed 3 or 4 players to show real intent and, you know, offered him silly money. Then I don't think that would be a possibility. But you're right, like, if they did reinvest that money, I think they've got the Venkies in charge still there at the club and they're the owners at the moment. But and apparently they're not really investing in the club at the moment. But, you know, with that money, they really could go and kind of, you know, pull up some strings in the league, so to speak. So it's worth looking out for there. I think what I'm hoping for on Saturday, mate, I'm hoping that Afobe and Wallace and the ilk of that can, you know, really take advantage of some players like Daniel Ayala, who was at Middlesbrough a few years ago, tall centre-half, but he's not really got a lot of speed. And I'm hoping that's like that kind of position where, you know, we can play balls in behind, you know, cause real threat in the wide areas as well, and hopefully take advantage of that and maybe score a couple goals on Saturday and win it quite comfortably, fingers crossed.
Yeah, it'd be lovely to keep a clean sheet as well. That I think that's one thing I'd like to see. Obviously, we've conceded 2 goals in 2 games, which, you know, with a very different, I get, well, not massively different, but last night's defence was a bit closer to what we'd like, what we obviously with Cooper in the back. But then again, Murray Wallace was great against QPR as well. So I think Ballard, Hutchinson and Cooper probably are Rowett's first choice three at the back with Danny and Malone at wing backs. No, but it'd be lovely to score a couple of goals. It's nice to see us score two last night. Good to see us score one. And we're not having problems creating goal, creating chances, are we? I think that's the positive. Against QPR, we created quite a few chances as well. Our problem is maybe just putting it in the back of the net, which is, you know, we've struggled with that for quite a few years, haven't we? Since we've had a Gregory or Morrison and starts putting it in the back of the net for us. But you know, I think that will come with match fitness, and I hope Phoebe can be the man to do it.
That's it. Hopefully, just like I said, that opportunity falls to him, and he had that kind of chance yesterday, I feel like, to get off the score sheet. But you know, it's gone, it's forgotten, and he's that kind of striker, like we said in the first part. You know, you'll get on with it and move on. But you just want him to get one kind of stroke of luck, isn't it? And just kind of kick him on. And I think if we do score early against a team like Blackburn, you know, they're selling Armstrong. They're in a kind of tricky position at the moment. I think I could see it as a kind of game where we can kind of go strength to strength, especially first home league game of the season, Kai. You know, 15,000 fans there, fingers crossed. And, you know, it could be a real opportunity to kind of stamp our authority and back up that really good draw last week at QPR.
Yeah, I think that's right, because you know they're going to be missing their key man. You know they're going to have to get used to it without him. But it's like if we were missing Jed, I think we'd probably, you know, struggle to create a little bit, probably a bit like, oh, how do we do this? And they'll be just getting to grips with how they're going to play without Armstrong. And I think that could be a real benefit to us. And hopefully we can take advantage of it.
Definitely, fingers crossed, mate. You gonna give me a prediction? I'm gonna go on the Leo and ask you for one whilst you're here.
I'll go 2-0.
Nice. I'll tell you what, it's probably something in the water I'm drinking, but I'm going to go 3-0. We're going to score early. Ooh. And we're going to win it comfortably. There you go. I think it's going to look really stupid come Sunday when we're sitting here and me and you are both back on the show. We're going to go, yeah, about that. I was like, I told you 3-0, but just the other way around. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'll probably say.
Yeah, I never said who was going to win.
That's it. I think, I'm kind of confident. I think yesterday was an important result in the sense of momentum is going to be built, I feel like, from that result. You know, I think Rat done the right thing. I did kind of think it'd be more changes. I'd love to have seen Alex Mitchell play last night, for example. I'd love to have seen, you know, other players come into the fold like Tietza and, you know, give him a chance. But in reality, looking back on that, first game back at the Den for 18 months, you know, good cup atmosphere there. John Berylson in the stadium as well. And obviously, he's going to be back on Saturday as well. I think, you know, there's kind of an element there of just, you know, get that momentum going and hopefully carry it into Saturday's game and kind of go out there and do the business, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I saw something the other day that said that Berylson's going to do a speech, is it, or on Saturday?
I think he's going to be presented to the pitch on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll build a nice little atmosphere as well. I think Berylson's worked wonders for Millwall, hasn't he? He's kept the club afloat in COVID, and he's continued to invest, which is, you know, hats off to him. And yeah, he deserves to be back at the Den supporting the team that he's worked so hard for.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, you know, the last 18 months, no fans in the crowd, so to speak, and obviously, you know, the Den being empty. But also that guy, you know, we had the summer where we've not sold anyone, we've not cashed in on anyone. We released Sean Williams, released Shane Ferguson, and a couple of other people. But, you know, we've invested in the likes of George Saville coming back, Ballard coming on loan, I'm sure will be a hefty wage kind of thing to cover. You know, a phobia up front as well. I'm sure he's not on peanuts at Stoke City. You know, it's kind of, there's a real intent there from, you know, the club. And also in January, even to sign Keith and Bell and Evans, that, like, you know, Rowett's getting the backing from the chairman. And we, like you said, we've got to be thankful for that, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and hopefully, if we can shift one or two out, we might be able to bring another one in as well. You know, probably be a loan, I'd assume. Well, you never know. It could be a permanent deal for maybe a lower league striker. But yeah, it'd be nice if we can get one more in. And if we can, then I think that's been a really, really good window.
Definitely. I think that's everything from us. You got anything else you want to add, or you're good?
I think that's it, yeah. Hopefully we can get 3 points at the Den on Saturday and kick off the home campaign with a win.
Yeah, I mean, the weather was good last night and it's good today and tomorrow. Apparently it's going to get shit again by the weekend. So, you know, our Saturdays are back, but I think, you know, there's a conspiracy somewhere where someone's trying to mess with our weekends a little bit there, but it is what it is indeed. But yeah, thanks for joining me, Kai. If you're new around here, guys, be sure to check us out. I mean, subscribe to the channel if you're new. Leave a like on the video. Leave your comments below. We love replying to them in the comments below and obviously giving our kind of opinion back. And obviously, if you've got anything constructive to say, be sure to let us know. Check us out on Twitter, @ThatMillPods. Thanks to anyone that nominated for us in the Football Content Awards. I think we'll find out in a few days what's going on with that one, but we do appreciate the many votes that came in. Check out our website. I think if I didn't plug it, Mickey would probably try and find out where I live and come after me, because he put a lot of work into that website, and that's www.thatmillpodcast.co.uk. A lot of new features in there, and obviously we'll be back on probably Thursday with a score prediction. Obviously we're involved in the score predictions with News at Den at the moment, and obviously I'll be leaving my predictions in every week, so watch out for that. And yeah, roll on Saturday, Kai. Let's have it.
Fingers crossed, 3 points. Come on, you Lions.